Hello and welcome to our service from St Mary's in Ely for all the churches in the Ely team. We're so happy that you're joining us today. Whoever you are, wherever you're from, you are welcome here. Our hope is that the love of God will reach every home in Ely and the surrounding villages and that we will play our own part in making that happen. My name's Chris and I'm the rector of St Mary's and the team. And later on, you'll meet Graham, one of our Christchurch leaders, who will be giving our talk. I want to wish you a happy new year, even though these remain challenging times. And we continue to pray and support each other in our isolation, in our grief and in our sorrow. And so before we go any further, let's once again begin with our Lutheran prayer for courage. Let's pray. Lord God, you have called your servants to ventures of which we cannot see the ending, by paths as yet untrodden, through perils unknown. Give us faith to go out with good courage, not knowing where we go, but only that your hand is leading us and your love supporting us. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now we come to our opening sentences. Please say out loud the words in bold. It's time to gather as God's people. It's time to gather. It's time to listen as God's people. It's time to listen. It's time to pray as God's people. It's time to pray. It's time to celebrate as God's people. It's time to celebrate. The Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. Our first song gives us a clue to the theme for today's service, and the St Mary's team sing, Give Me Jesus. Please do join in at home. This is the Sunday in the year when we usually talk about our vision for the coming 12 months. But in the current circumstances, that's quite a challenge. However, this Sunday and next, to make us ready, to prepare us for an unpredictable 12 months, we are going to look at two key parts of our faith: being Christ-centered and becoming Jesus-shaped, which we hope will become something of a mantra for the year for St. Mary's, to prepare us for the year ahead: Christ-centered and Jesus-shaped. To get us in the mood, can I ask you to think about a friend or a family member and what you would do to persuade them that you valued your relationship with them, that they were special and they mattered to you, and that you were going to spend some time with them? What would you say or do? Have a little think for a minute or so, and then share what you're thinking with whoever you're watching with. Or if you're on your own, tell someone else afterwards, or email us here at St. Mary's. It would be really interesting to hear what you were thinking. I thought of a few things. First of all, this thing. I'd turn my phone off so that they would know that we wouldn't be interrupted as we spoke. I might cook a meal for them or offer them a drink. There's something, isn't there, about sitting around a table eating that is intimate and enables us to talk and relax with each other. And that would show that I was expecting to spend some time listening and talking to that person. I might light a candle to show that this time was special, sacred even. I might refer to their letters to me from the past to show that I'd remembered them at other times. Before Graham talks to us about that, Beth is going to read from the Bible.
This reading is taken from 2 Corinthians 5, verses 17 to 18. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Revelation 22, verses 1 to 7. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign for ever and ever. The angel said to me, "These words are trustworthy and true. The Lord, the God who inspires the prophets, sent his angels to show his servants the things that must soon take place. Look, I am coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy written in this scroll.
Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for these two passages that speak about us being in Christ and what that means. And we just pray that you will teach us today. In Jesus' name. Amen. So my name's Graham Biss. I'm a licensed lay minister based at Christchurch, but I speak from time to time at St Mary's also. And for the next two Sundays, Chris and I are going to be having a look at the new vision that the Church of England has got for the next decade, which was published in November by the Reverend Stephen Cottrell, the new Archbishop of York. And each decade, the Church of England like to proclaim afresh their vision for the coming decade. And this particular one is aimed at Christians who are seeking new hope and a new life in Christ. And it's a call to renew our life in Christ as individuals and as a church. And it's quite simple. It's published on the web and you can have a look at it, but it's quite simple and it's nice and diagrammatic for those people who like diagrams. And it basically consists of a central vision, which is to renew our calling in Christ and to be shaped like Jesus. And then that sort of fans out into three priorities for the mission of the church, and then is bounded around the outside by a new attitude that the church is calling us to adopt, which is to be humbler, simpler, and bolder as individuals and as a church. But what Chris and I are going to do, I'm going to look at the in Christ element, and he's going to look at the being shaped by Jesus, Jesus-shaped element in the next couple of weeks, which is at the centre of this vision. So I'm going to have a look at this 2 Corinthians passage, and I just thought we would read it again together to have a look at what this is saying to us. So it says at verse 17, "So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation." So we've just come through our celebration of Christmas, when God comes to be with us. And I was watching the Midnight Mass service that was streamed from the Church of England, and Archbishop Justin was talking about this new small baby that's come into the world and how it doesn't really take up much room, and we can either decide to ignore the new baby or to embrace the new baby. And if we do embrace the new baby, it fills us with love. And it talks about this term ministry of reconciliation in this passage in 2 Corinthians, and I just thought I'd try and unpack that a little bit for people, because God is active in trying to reconcile himself to each human that he's created. He takes the lead. He sent his son at Christmas, and he takes the lead to bring reconciliation in the relationship between us as humans and him as God. And in that process, if we accept the baby Jesus and we're open to that reconciliation process, in that process, he reveals himself to us. And that process then can lead to us wanting to imitate God in Christ. We find in when we're in Christ that we're more accepting of others. We're more generous with the things that we have, our time, etc. We're more merciful, we're more welcoming. And we find that we're beginning to participate in God's divine activity. And all of these things are what God wants. He wants to welcome everyone. He wants to accept everyone. He wants to be generous. And also, as we start to serve God through our faith, we start to make sacrifices. We start to provide our time and sacrifice our time and our gifts to God. And we imitate Christ, who ultimately sacrificed himself for us on the cross. And we often want to give our very, very best to Christ. Hopefully that's what we try and do all the time when time allows. And we find ourselves emptying ourselves for God, just as Christ did on the cross. And so this imitation of Christ leads us to start to glorify God. People can see, even in someone like me, they can see God's glory. And it brings us joy to be a follower of Christ. And we find that our true humanity, who we've been made to be, is something we can grow into and enjoy when we're in Christ. So that's just a little bit about this ministry of reconciliation. Being in Christ is spoken about quite a lot in the letters of Paul, not just in this particular letter, 2 Corinthians, but also in Romans and in 1 Corinthians. And really, it sums up all those teachings. If you're in Christ as someone who is spiritually alive, someone who's been given the gift of eternal life, someone who's not condemned anymore and is therefore righteous in God's eyes. And we have the privilege of being able to stand when we're in Christ in God's presence. And we can become holy. We can become righteous and we're redeemed as his people. And interestingly, in John's Gospel, when Jesus is talking to his disciples about his relationship with the Father, he talks about the Father being in him and he being in the Father. So although it's a difficult concept to get our heads around, Paul is using the same language as Christ about how we're part of Christ and how when we're in Christ, he lives in us. And my wife, for Christmas, was given a new Bible. It's this one. It's called the Infographic Bible, which is a visualization of the drama of God's Word. And it's packed full of interesting diagrams and graphs and mappings that really bring God's Word alive in a different way. And when I was looking through the Infographic Bible, I came across a section which talked about what we gain from being in Christ. And this picture here shows this in the centre, Christ and what he did for us on the cross. And all of these things around the outside of this diagram are things that we can gain from being in Christ. And just to highlight a few things on this picture, and there must be almost 100 things around on this diagram, all of which are referenced in the scriptures, in the Gospels. We're given strength when we surrender fully to God. There's role models, new role models available for us, not only in Christ himself, but in other Christians on their journey. We're refreshed and given new purpose as people. There's a new innocence that we have. A new way of living. We come to know the generous provision and the healing power of being in Christ. And then we understand and experience the forgiveness, the amazing forgiveness of God, how he can give us freedom from condemnation and shame and things we may have done in the past and release us from that. We get a sense of belonging in his church. Become alive to God, and we become authentic as people and feel that we have discovered the real us. And that's just a smattering of the things on this diagram. So hopefully that gives you a bit of a flavour of what it is to be, what being in Christ means. So the next question to obviously ask is, how do we become in Christ? What do we have to do? And the most important thing is that we have to participate. We have to accept the baby Jesus. We have to have our hearts open to a faith in Christ. And when we're in that mode, we're in that position, the Spirit is present. God's Spirit is present, and we can become alive through being in Christ. And then we're able to ask Jesus to help us be more like him. And we can journey with other people, learning from them and encouraging one another. And we can take an active part in church life, learning how to serve God and use our gifts and discovering who we are. So that's what we do in order to be in Christ. I just thought I'd talk a little bit about my experience on my Christian journey of what it meant to me to be in Christ at different phases. When I first became a Christian, there was things that became apparent from being in Christ. So I had this new relationship with other people. I was able to relate to people in a different way. I found people attractive. And I could see how I could love people in different ways. And I could respect them as fellow creatures and fellow people that had been created in God's love. I had a new humility to be able to get on with those people. And a new voice that helped me in difficult situations. So I found I had a new attitude to others, a new respect for others. And that was great. The other thing I found was that obviously I had a new relationship with God. I was able to learn more about him, was keen to learn more about him, keen to pray to him, keen to read the Bible and learn about him. And so that was a relationship that developed because I was in Christ. And there was a newness about me. I felt alive. I felt that I was able to, I found the truth that I was looking for. And I was able to discover my real self. And that was so, that was when I became a new Christian. Later on in life, through my journey as a Christian, I moved into a new mode where I felt God was calling me for a particular vocation. And as it turned out, it was to be a licensed lay minister. And so I had to explore that calling and to discuss it with other people. And I found, obviously, I had to work out what God was saying individually to me and what my vocation should be. And then as I started to train as a minister, people were encouraging me to grow in faith and knowledge and to ask some deeper questions and to grow in my knowledge of God. And so that was a new mode of being in Christ and accepting that knowledge and discerning that knowledge. And the other people were encouraging me to adopt some new spiritual practices, to grow spiritually in different ways, and encourage those to be developed. So those were, if you like, a deepening of my faith in Christ. And all the way through the process of discernment and training, I felt that God was in control of the situation. I felt that, you know, it was his will to get me through that. And so I felt that he was there to help me when things got tough or where I had to find time to get things done. And he got me through it. And now, as some of you may know, I'm fortunate enough to be able to retire after 44 years of working. My wife, bless her, is continuing to work. So I'm able to give more time as a minister in the church. And some of you may have heard that when Stephen leaves in the summer, I will be stepping up to be overall leader of Christ Church. And I've obviously got lots to learn and lots to pick up from Stephen before he goes. So I've got to grow in my ministry. And obviously, I've got to give time to God to find out what his will is for Christ Church. So there's lots of new things that I have to grow in my relationship in Christ. So there's just a few things that have happened to me personally on my journey. And the final thing I wanted to just offer up is how worship songs can help us maybe get a handle on what it means to be in Christ. And when I used to take the youth away, along with a whole bunch of other leaders, to Soul Survivor, the worship there was fantastic. And there was a wonderful song there called Rule in My Heart that Beth Croft used to sing. And the words of the song were, Rule in my heart forever, high above any other. Come, Lord Jesus, and take your rightful place in my heart. And then she goes on to sing that she wants Jesus to be the king of all she is. And for that, for me, that sums up what it means to be in Christ. And there's an older worship song which Graham Kendrick has sung in the past, The Lord is Present Here, where he also talks about offering up our gifts in service to God. And that also, I think, speaks into this being in Christ. And then the other worship song is In Christ Alone by Stuart Townend, when he talks about standing in the love of Jesus, standing in the death of Jesus, standing in the power of Jesus as we walk with him in our lives. And that's very much Jesus being in the centre of our lives. So hopefully that's given you a bit of a helping hand as to work out what it is maybe to be in Christ and what we have to do to be in Christ. And I hope you found that kind of helpful. So let's just pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for what Jesus has done in our lives. And thank you for the gift of Jesus this Christmas. I pray that we can accept that gift and have our hearts open to Jesus so that we can experience all that he has to give us in Christ. And I just pray that you will help us to engage with this new vision the church has and the archbishops have, and that we can go on an exciting, refreshing new journey with Christ in this new decade. And we lift this up to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's continue to reflect on the relationship that God wants to have with us through Jesus as we sing together, How Deep the Father's Love for Us. Do join in. Thank you.
Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart.
We turn now to a time of confession where we acknowledge we haven't given God that time and attention that will from now on make such a difference in our lives. Please say the words in bold. God our Father, we come to you in sorrow for our sins, for turning away from you and ignoring your will for our lives. Father, forgive us, save us and help us. For behaving just as we wish without thinking of you, Father, forgive us, save us and help us. For failing you by what we do and think and say, Father, forgive us, save us and help us. For letting ourselves be drawn away from you by temptations in the world about us, Father, forgive us, save us and help us. For living as if we were ashamed to belong to your Son, Father, forgive us, save us and help us. And so may the God of love bring us back to himself, forgive us our sins and assure us of his eternal love in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now we have an opportunity to declare our faith in God. Together we say, we believe in God the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. We believe in God the Son, who lives in our hearts through faith and fills us with his love. We believe in God the Holy Spirit, who strengthens us with power from on high. We believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Now I'm going to hand over to Steve and Hilary, who are going to lead us in our prayers today.
At this extraordinary time, we're going to focus our prayer on the COVID crisis. The theme of our worship today is being Christ-centred. So how does that impact the way we meet our community? Jesus spent so much time with the desperate. So at this time, how does the body of Christ meet all those people in their fears and isolation, their financial worries? And so we cry out to God at this time for our town and the villages. We pray for doctors and nurses, for care workers, for our hospital and the care homes around, and also the surgeries, for businesses often driven to the edge or even over the edge by now. Indeed, let's pause for a minute and just allow God to remind us of the businesses we value and for us to pray quite specifically for them. Let's also remember individuals who feel that their lives have been closed down by this epidemic and the latest shutdown. So what's the good news that God wants you to offer to the isolated, for those who have been forgotten? Is God nudging you to phone someone who he's brought to mind, or sending them a text? We all feel better for having been noticed. Amen. And now here's a prayer for us to positively grab this time for God.
This moment will not return. It is a precious gift to me for all eternity. Here, now, I can savour this gift, receive it, enjoy it, use it, but I can wish it away, throw it away, discard it, because I am tired, impatient, anxious, depressed, because I am too busy, recalling the past and plotting the future, hastily dismissing this instant. Yet I will never pass this way again. It will be cast in the stone of time. What is there in this transient moment which I can fill with life? Why have I been brought to this point of time which is filled with such potential? Giver of this gift, I ask you to make it eternally rich, to awaken in me its infinite potential. Help me to begin to see with your eyes, to begin to hear with your ears, to begin to breathe your breath, to begin to be filled with your life and your love, to awaken fully to what you are saying and doing just now. Make this moment a time of joy, of freedom, exhilaration, and even ecstasy here and now. May I taste and see how good you are, and in my refreshment, give you glory and praise. The blessing of him who stilled the storm, the blessing of peace and a deep new calm, the blessing of joy come to your mind, the blessing of love help you unwind. Peace in your dealings, peace in your days, peace in your living, and to give God praise. Peace between me and each friend, peace in the morning and at the day's end, peace in each hour and in the whole day, peace on my journey and all of the way, peace in the work that I need to do, peace in my life, peace comes from you. Amen.
Let's gather all of our prayers together in the prayer that Jesus taught us, the Lord's Prayer. Please join in. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And finally, we pray our giving prayer, offering the money we give to all the team churches for their work in the community and amongst our mission partners. Together we pray. Generous God, Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer, at your table we present our gifts to aid the work you have given us to do. Use them, use us, in the service of your world, to the glory of your name. Amen. If you've not yet discovered the joy of giving to the work and mission of your local church, please do give us a call at the office and we'll let you know how it works in your particular church and how you contribute in this way. So as we come to the end of our service this morning, let's sing one last song together. Let the King of my heart be the mountain where I run, the fountain I drink from. Oh, he is my song. Please do join in.
Let the King of my heart be the mountain where I run, fountain I drink from, oh, he is my song. Let the king of my heart be the shadow where I hide, the ransom for my life, oh, he is my song. You are a good, good, oh, you are a good, good, oh, you are good, good, oh, you are a good, good, oh. Let the king of my heart be the wind inside my sails, the anchor in the waves, oh, he is my song. Let the king of my heart be the fire inside my veins, the echo of my days, oh, he is my song. You are good, good, oh, you are good, good. Never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. 'Cause you are good, good, oh, you are good, good.
Thank you once again for joining us this morning, and a big thank you to everybody who's participated today, musicians, readers, prayers, and to Graham for our message. Our home groups will be reflecting on today's message this week, so please do join in and contact the office for details if you're not part of a group yet. Please also check the church website regularly for updates on how we're responding to the crisis and other resources. And let's continue to look out for our neighbours and pick up the phone to make sure nobody is completely alone and struggling. Finally, if you're enjoying our online services, please do tell a friend and invite them to take part. In these strange times, it seems that many are looking afresh at their faith. So don't be shy, do invite someone. A final blessing. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favour and give you his peace. So go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ, amen. Amen. Goodbye, everyone.